Hello and welcome to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. This week I'll be looking at two very different businesses. One aimed at storytelling and creativity and getting children away from screens. And the other, which is a luxury hotel and spa gifting platform that's rapidly expanding. First up though, Fudge and Gandol is a new Donegal-based children's creativity company built around storytelling. Founded by Ballyshannon mum Julie Dowling, it all stemmed from a bedtime routine and telling stories to her own children. And that routine led to the creation of a full set of story cards. And so the idea was hatched that other families could try the same idea. Each pack includes illustrated characters, locations and story sparks from Merndale, a gentle and fantasy world inspired by the Irish countryside. Children pick a few cards and shape the plot in their own way, telling it out loud, writing it down or even acting it out. Julie says their motto is "Screens off, imaginations on." Now, the cards are available in some shops and online, and there looks to be considerable potential. Fudge and Gandol recently launched a nationwide storytelling competition to help children get creative and away from screens. And children can enter the Story Cup competition individually or with their class. Julie's own career background has certainly been a big part in getting the business off the ground. As we will hear, she is the manager of an innovation centre in Sligo, which works with existing businesses who are interested in integrating AI into their workplace. So when I spoke to her, there was plenty to discuss. I began by asking her to outline what Fudge and Gandol is all about.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for having me on the show. So Fudge and Gandol, as you said, it's a storytelling business that we set up to help kids really, I suppose, find their creativity and use their imagination as wildly as possible. And so this all started myself telling stories at nighttime to my two kids. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we got into this bedtime routine where we were reading stories every night. And to be honest, over the years, it just gets a little bit boring for everybody involved because inevitably we go back to the same books over and over again, despite the fact that we have practically a library of books in our house. And one night, about over a year ago, lying in bed with my daughter, instead of reading the same old books, we decided to make up a story. And we created some characters and we ended up in this enchanted forest called Merndale. And she told a lovely story about a unicorn and a princess, as all then 6-year-old children do. And the next night we did the same thing. And over time, we find that we continuously were telling these stories about these enchanted characters that all started to get entwined and mingled and all were based in the same enchanted forest in Merndale. And what we were finding was we were actually really enjoying our bedtime routine. We were sort of getting deeply involved and lost in these characters. And we were coming up with stories that were far, I suppose, better or different, or just we as a mother and daughter, and I was doing it with my son as well, were more connected in the evening time after busy days. And it was something that we really enjoyed. And I started kind of thinking about this and thinking about like how my daughter was feeling, how my son was reacting to this, and how much better for them it was to be using their own imagination rather than consuming information all the time. Because whether it's a storybook or whether it's a screen, you're constantly consuming what's being put in front of you. So I just thought there was something in it. And I took the joy that I suppose we were getting from it and I created a set of story cards. And in the beginning, I was just using it with the kids as something that we were doing. But because we kept going back to it again and again and again, I thought, well, this is actually something that I think other families would enjoy. So we built out these sort of bundle of story cards. So you've got all of these characters with all of these personalities and traits and sort of lives living in this world of Merndale. You've got all of these locations and you've got enchanted elements. And the idea is that the kids can bring in the cards. They bring in 2 to 3 characters, some enchanted elements and a location or maybe 2, and they can create their own story. So they come up with a plot and sort of have these props that they can bring in to sort of keep their story going.
So the idea was in place, but what prompted Julie to go down the route of making this into a business? And as we will hear, a NASA study had alerted her attention, and this was a factor in her progressing matters further.
I suppose the reason I kind of looked at this and thought, I think that there's really something special in what we're doing here is, well, number one, as I said, the connection was much better between me as a parent and my kids after long, busy days being away from each other, and then just trying to take that 10, 15 minutes in the evening and just reconnecting before bed. But also, I suppose I'm looking at what's happening in the world around us. I'm looking at the future for my kids and, you know, where they're going to be and what they're going to work in and how all that's going to come together. And I run an innovation centre based around manufacturing, and I work with machines all the time. We're looking at the integration of artificial intelligence, and I'm looking at this evolving world, and I'm thinking, well, where are my kids going to sit in this world and what skills are they going to need for the future? And the thing that I keep coming back to is that creativity is going to be something, is a core skill of the future. And I did a little bit of research in this because I was starting to get a little bit curious about how all this was fitting together in my own mind and why I was sort of drawn to this. So I find that when children, NASA had done this long-term study, and over the period of 18 years, they followed this same subset of individuals, and they measured their creative abilities at the age of, I think it was four, if not four, it was two. And at that age, 98% of that group were thought to be creative geniuses. And fast forward to 18 years later, that same group, only 12% of them retained those creative abilities. And the outcome of that research showed that as a society, we actively unteach creativity. And then putting the spin on that as to what I'm talking about and where I'm going, kind of like what are the skills that my children need in the future? I'm going, well, the world is going to need creative problem solvers. And creative problem solving matters because the world our kids will grow up in won't reward people for remembering information. It will reward people for being able to figure things out. And I think that's sort of the link that I'm trying to build with this, with these story cards and the use of your imagination and this creative storytelling, because storytelling will train, I guess, flexible thinking and will build these skills in a way that children can relate to, and it's fun for them and it gets them away from screens even just for a little bit. And I'm not anti-screens, by the way. Our motto is screens off, imagination on. I do believe there's a time and a place for everything. And as I said, I work in a world of, you know, automation, robotics and artificial intelligence. So I do believe that technology is good. But I just think that this is something that we need to lean into a little bit as well in terms of like just getting our kids away from screens for just a little bit of time every now and again.
You mentioned there just your own background. So just maybe just elaborate a little bit on what exactly I suppose the main job was or is with this now emerging as a part of your career as well.
Yes. So the main job is I'm the manager of an innovation centre called the AIM Centre in Sligo. So AIM stands for Advancing Innovation in Manufacturing. And we're working with existing businesses who are looking to digitalise and integrate AI into their workplace. So AIM is a very successful innovation centre. We've been in operation for the last 2 years, thereabouts, and rolling out different programmes that companies can engage with and can come to us for support when they're looking to basically bring their business from, you know, whatever maturity level they're at in terms of digitization to the next. So we have various different supports that we can actually bring to manufacturing companies to help them, including an accelerator program, and it's specifically an AI accelerator program that brings companies that are really just scratching the surface with how AI can be applied within their organization and actually getting that to the point where they're doing their, you know, proof of concept, proof of value, and then building like demonstrations of what they actually want to get to. So you do all of that during your accelerator, and then the next step beyond the accelerator would be actual integration of solutions into your business. So that's the kind of thing that the AIM Centre does. And that's my day job. That's the job that puts the brings home the bacon, if you like. And but I'm seeing the shifting landscape in front of us. I'm looking at all the training that we're doing with individuals and with companies, and how, you know, technology is moving ahead at pace, and we need to be able to keep up with that technological advancement. And robots, you know, robots, automation, they can only do so much. Robots can't empathize with the problem. They can't, you know, explore wild different options and bring people along on the journey with them. Only a human can do that. And that's, I suppose, where this next venture for me has come from, where I'm kind of going, we need more creative problem solvers in the future. It's a core skill that needs to be developed in young people so that they can stay abreast of what's happening and move forward with, I suppose, the technology that will be in use in 5, 10, 20 years' time.
Now, your own background, obviously a big help in being able to develop and launch a website. At the beginning, no doubt you bounced it off people. What was the initial feedback like? Like how long was it between the whole idea emerging and when you actually went out and looked for business and started sort of really marketing the cards, so to speak?
So I guess all of this started with my daughter and my son maybe last summer. And I suppose I mulled it over for a long time and started using the cards. And then I got some prototypes developed through the support of the local enterprise office in Donegal. And I started showing them to people. And the first iteration of cards that I got, they were holographic. I kind of thought, well, kids love shiny things, you know, we'll get holographic cards and I'll see if they're interested in the characters and how that goes. And I showed the prototypes to retailers, and I'd done one or two focus groups with families, and I got, you know, people that I know. And then also I tried to get people that I didn't know, because I didn't want people just to tell me what I wanted to hear, obviously. And people showed genuine interest, and kids started coming to me and saying like, oh, I made up a story about, and you know, they'd tell me something random, and it was just really lovely to hear. And I was like, oh, actually people are actually using these, there's something in this. And then I thought, well, why don't I do more? I took a lot of feedback, like I made a lot of changes. One of the things that I did was I went down to Cork for a weekend, and I went on an accelerator program in the Republic of Work February 2024. And they give me really, really good guidance in terms of like just the Irishness of it all. Because I had, I suppose, not realized that I was subconsciously making this forest like an Irish forest. All the characters have like Irish names, and there's Irish themes, like the Cliffs of Erin, which look like the Cliffs of Moher. There's like wolves from ancient Ireland. There's loads of different things in it. And I suppose I was doing that subconsciously. I hadn't seen it. So when I spoke to the guys on that accelerator weekend, they gave me some really good ideas just of the Irishness of it and how this could be a product for the diaspora of the world as well, who I've lived abroad for years. And I know that when you're abroad and you're looking at the connection to home, you just have this grow for anything that gives you sort of that romantic feeling with Ireland. And these cards can do that. They can do that for the children of the diaspora that have left, to give them that connection of home. So all of that started to really unfold and really take shape. So I went back, I took all of the feedback that I'd gotten from those initial prototypes, and I went back to the drawing board, and I got a manufacturer, and I just, again, I went with another small number of cards just to test the market, and that sold out again within a couple of, I think it was maybe 2 weeks. And this was just word of mouth, really, at this stage. I'd set up my own website, a Shopify website, and just people who are really interested in storytelling. started coming to me. So I went back for another order, and that's where we're at the moment. So I'm really, like, I'm still in very early stages. I'm still testing the water. And as I reach bigger audiences, I'm seeing things that I need to do better as I move forward, but I'm also seeing huge opportunities.
There's certainly been quite a bit of interest in what she is doing, and indeed some big players have been in contact with her, as she then told me.
So I've been lucky enough to have been presented with an opportunity with a large brand who's seen what I was doing and looked at it and said, there's something in this storytelling for kids. Could you partner with our brand? Could you help us make up a story about our brand to resonate with young families? And I went, oh my God, yeah, that's a fantastic thing that I could do. And then when I spoke to them, they actually said to me, they were like, oh, some of our competitors are actually partnering with other kids' characters or like kids' sort of icons in the UK, in the States and in other countries. But there's actually nothing to do, nothing like that in Ireland. And I hadn't realised that before. And I thought about what they said to me. And I was like, there actually isn't that I can think of that is uniquely Irish for kids in the likes of, you compare it to, say, the likes of maybe Paddington Bear or something like that. There's a massive opportunity here for Fudge and Gandel to be that brand and to bridge that gap. Because why not? Why not have an Irish sort of owned character, if you like, for our young people, or characters, as the case is with Marindale. And again, with my connection with technology, when I set up the company, I had an idea of how to integrate this whole thing with the world of technology. But as I've went on the journey, I've actually pulled back from that a little bit. And I thought that there's a time and a place for technology. And maybe this isn't it. Maybe it is in the future as the whole thing evolves. But for right now, this is around kids, this is around creativity, this is around use of imagination. And for me, it's around maybe building a brand as well and seeing what opportunities come to the forefront with that as well. And if there are big brands that want to partner with us to create a story around their, you know, connecting their brand with young families, then maybe there's opportunities there as well. So I'm just kind of waiting to see what may come and how this will all unfold.
Essentially, the story cards designed really children aged 4 to 12. There's each set includes 44 of the cards. And just to reiterate, you know, the cards don't tell the story. It's your children. And how it all works essentially is that when you get the cards, you shuffle them and you draw a character, a location, an enchanted item and a spark card. And who knows what unfolds after that. And I understand that you also have a book series, which, all going well, will come out next year.
Yes, we do. So we're going to launch a number of books early in the year. We have two books ready to go. And really what we would, again, we're taking on the feedback that we've got from customers to date. And I suppose we want to just build out Marindale. We want to give people more insight into what's in Marindale. So these two books will really get more in depth with the characters, with the stories, with the worlds, the connections, the friendships and everything that's built within. They're actually really lovely stories. Again, the cards are for kids, I suppose, 4 to 12. And I just want to clarify on that, actually, because it's something we get asked a lot, is what age group are these actually for? Because 4 to 12 is clearly a big jump. The stories get more and more elaborate. The cards evolve with the kids. So the stories get more elaborate the older the kids get. And it's the kids from maybe 6 to 12 that really, really get into it. The younger kids, the 4 and the 5, the parents kind of have to support the kids in their storytelling. The books, I've tested the books with an audience, and really for readers maybe 6 and upwards, I've had reports from kids that are 12 years of age that are loving them. And equally, my own daughter, she's 7 now. She loves them as well. So they're for any readers. And the one thing, I'm talking about girls because I've all nieces. But the one thing I will say is when I've been out in the schools, the kids that get stuck into this quicker and get more in depth with it are the boys. the 8, 9, 10 year old boys absolutely love these cards, and it's something that I didn't realize. I actually thought I'd have to bring out another set that would be more focused on things the boys are interested in. But because the characters are so diverse, the boys are all over this, which is lovely to see. So the books that we're bringing out just build on the cards and the characters and everything, and just create lovely stories, and really just kind of are a sample of what you can do. Because in each book, we take the cards and we show how we've actually made this into a tale, and kind of brings it all together.
The story cards are now available at some outlets in the Northwest, but the real opportunities for sales will be online, as Julie explained further.
We are in some retailers. We've just sort of started our retail journey, definitely online. So our website is www.fudgeandgandol.com, and Gandol is G-A-N-D-O-L. But we are in retailers in Ballybuffet, in Ballyshannon, cross-border. We're in Garrison in Melbourne Pharmacy. We are in Rooney's gift shop in Baleek in County Fermanagh. And we're also in some retailers in Sligo direction as well. And definitely looking for more retailers if anyone was interested in stocking the product.
And the name Fudge and Gandol, how did you come on that?
So that is, so Fudge is my daughter's nickname. It came about when she was a baby and it just sort of stuck. So she's Fudge. And when my son was born, his name is Daniel. She couldn't say Daniel, so her name's Fia. Fia couldn't say Daniel, she started calling him Gandol, and that kind of stuck. So that's they're Fudge and Gandol, so it's built around them.
Great. Now, back to the story competition. What do you want people to do? How do people get involved? How do they enter? Tell us what you need to do.
So this is a competition for primary schools across the whole island of Ireland. So if anyone wants to sign up, you just have to pop us an email, hello@fudgeandgandol.com, and we'll send you out a free kit. And basically what comes in the kit is, so the real sort of engagement, basically a teacher's guide of how to get the kids involved in setting out the stories and getting things moving. You get a free pack of cards, and you also get a sample story. We've included a story in there that is actually one of our books that's coming out next year. So it's the beginning of the book. It's called Rowan Brightwood and the Mysteries of the Wand. So Rowan Brightwood is a new character that will come out next year in some new cards that we'll be releasing. And the part of the book that we've released leads you right up to the point where you're pretty much wondering who Rowan Brightwood is going to be. So there's this whole big mystery. It's all revealed in the story. But Rowan Brightwood is kind of core, and you're kind of left going, well, who is he, and what does he want, and why is he coming to Merndale, and what's his connection with this wand, and the mysteries all around the wand. And so the idea behind the story cup is that the kids can actually take the beginning of that story and write their own ending, or they can take the set of cards and they can create a brand new story from scratch. So there's prizes for the different age groups. The submission date for stories is the 26th of January, and winners will be announced then early February.
Well, my thanks to Julie Dowling from Ballyshannon, founder of Fudge and Gandol. The website address again is Fudge and Gandol. That's all one word, F-U-D-G-E. And Gandol, GANDOL.com. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. A Wicklow-based Irish startup has seen a huge growth in its voucher sales in the luxury hotel gifting market. Founded by Adrienne Stewart and Zoe Byrne, the company claims to have the world's most flexible luxury hotel gift voucher. In fact, the voucher is redeemable at over 10,000 premium hotels, including ones in Donegal and across some 75 countries around the world. Well, Adrienne joined me on the line recently to tell me more about the business.
Yeah, hi Chris, how are you? Thanks for having me on. So hotelandsparesorts.com is Ireland and the world's most flexible luxury hotel gift voucher. So with our platform, what you can do is buy a gift voucher seamlessly and very quickly for someone that you want to give a Christmas gift to, anniversary, anything like that. And then they have the choice to redeem that gift voucher at any one of 10,000 five-star hotels across Ireland and worldwide. So we have 75 countries on our platform. So, you know, I suppose what's new about this platform is to date, really, when people are buying hotel gift vouchers, they're buying it for one specific hotel, a group of hotels, or you might get a multi-purpose gift voucher that has a small collection. You know, you might be talking 50, 60 hotels that may only be in Ireland. But with ours, what we wanted to do was give choice and flexibility to the recipient, because really what we saw was when you get a gift voucher, sometimes they are left in the drawer and they go unredeemed because, you know, they just can't find the right place for them, or there's no availability in the hotel that they want, so they don't have much choice to go elsewhere. So we wanted to kind of give the power back to the voucher holder and let them choose where they would love to go.
Now, I went into the site myself and I just put in just randomly Donegal to see what came up, and the first place up was Loch Ness Castle Hotel. So yeah, for people going in, you know, this is a great way, be it Donegal, Waterford, Cork, Paris, mm-hmm. you're going to get that instant link to the hotels. So these vouchers, as you say, it's giving you that freedom to choose as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like in Donegal, we've got Loch Ness Castle, as you say, we've Harvey's Point, we've Manor House Country Hotels. So we have a huge amount, like 10,000 hotels worldwide. So there's just, you know, an unparalleled level of choice that people haven't had before. I think as well, like buying a luxury gift or any sort of gift voucher, you want to give people, the buyer wants it to be easy for them, and you can send it instantly to your recipient, or you can send a postal voucher as well. So really what it does is it kind of opens up the world to somebody. You're not restricting them to just one area. You can holiday at home. You can holiday locally if you can't get away from the kids, for example, for too long. Or you can get away on a romantic break to Paris or Rome or anywhere, basically. So, you know, we started off just over 11 months ago with only 24 hotels. And we quickly realized that people were demanding choice. So we worked very hard over the last year to build this platform out. And we've just launched it there last week. So, yeah, we're getting ready for, I suppose, the Christmas gift voucher season.
And Adrian, there is an option for people which gives you a bit of flexibility in terms of payment, that you can use the likes of Apple Pay and Klarna.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've built the platform out to be as user-friendly as possible so that you can make a purchase very quickly. I mean, we're all pressed for time in this busy world. So, you know, everyone has their pre-saved card details on their phone. You can double-tap the side of your phone to make a payment very quickly. Really, we wanted it not to be fussy for the gift buyer, and to have as little friction as possible for them, because we want it to be a luxury experience on the platform for the buyer as well as the recipient as well.
And it's interesting to note that many businesses are moving away from, I suppose you could call them, the more traditional hampers and generic cash cards. And maybe this is an option, that rewarding staff and clients with a voucher like yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as we know, gift vouchers are tax efficient under the small benefit scheme that we have. So you can now give up to €1,500 tax free to your staff. It's also, I think a lot of people we're finding that we're speaking to in the corporate world, you know, they've been giving hampers for years and expensive bottles of wine, and, you know, their clients or their staff are getting multiples of those and then re-gifting them. So they're actually getting no benefit at all out of those gifts. So, you know, it's also something that can just be consumed and it's gone. Whereas with our gift vouchers, what you're giving is a memorable experience that person then relates back to the company that is giving it. You know, the other side of it is as well that we've spoken to a lot of companies that, yes, they buy cash cards or have done in the past, but what they weren't aware of was a lot of the restrictions that are placed on these cash cards come back to bite the company. Like, for example, you can get credit card style gift vouchers that have hidden charges on them, and they're bringing down the value of those cards month on month. And if somebody loses it in your company, you have to contact the purchaser to get it replaced. And that's just messy for HR managers as well. So what we do is, for corporate gifting, we're actually giving a corporate gifting bonus back to the buyer, so to the company. So for every €1,000 that they spent, there's a bonus 100 euro gift voucher that we give back, which they can use whichever way they want to use as well, to an additional kind of gift to staff or keep it themselves if they wish. But we're making it easy. There's no hidden charges. It's valid for 5 years and it will not reduce in value over those 5 years.
Now, you mentioned over 10,000 premium hotels, so I take it a lot of your work over the last year or so behind the scenes to increase those numbers, you've been in direct contact. And has it been a hard sell to get people on board, or do they get the whole concept pretty quickly?
Yeah, what we found is that like a lot of the partners, we're working with global distribution partners of hotels, and we've spent most of this year building the relationships with them. And really the benefit for the hotels is that they're getting a slice of a new market that they haven't got before. They will sell their own gift vouchers themselves. We're not going into competition with them, but we are opening up a whole new tranche of customers that they want to buy. They want to have multi-purpose gift vouchers. They're circulating, and these hotels then can gain new customers, new guests from these gift vouchers. If they're not part of our platform, they're missing out on these customers that are circulating in the market.
And then from the business point of view, and in order to put bread on the table at home, just to point out, you know, the end user, the customer, they're not paying any additional charges. You're getting, is it a percentage or a fixed amount from the actual hotels or spa resorts?
Absolutely. So the actual recipient is not missing out on anything at all. Nothing has been deducted off their gift voucher amount. There's a commission that is involved with the hotels, but that's nothing to do with the recipient. So, you know, it's a kind of win-win for everybody. The hotel gets new customers and the recipient retains the full gift voucher value that they're given as well. So really, it's you know, everyone is happy at the end of the day.
And tell me also, you have, you call it the AI concierge, that's available 24/7. So a little bit like a chat response tool, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's basically a personalised ChatGPT for hotelandsparresorts.com. We've built it into our platform, so it's there front and centre on the homepage whenever anybody is on the website. The reason that we did that was, like, I don't know about yourself, but personally I use ChatGPT all of the time. It is powered by ChatGPT. It is trained with all of our information so that if anybody has a fleeting question, they can get an instant response. You're not waiting for a human to get back to you with a simple question. The other good part of it then as well is for the guests who have their gift voucher, you know, they can build an itinerary for their stay. So if you're going to Donegal, you're going to be staying at, let's say, Harvey's Point, you can actually pop into our AI concierge what's happening during the dates that you're staying in the local area, and it will give you suggestions of an itinerary for your stay as well. So it really makes the trip a lot more bespoke for the guest, and that allows them to add the type of activities that they're interested in as well. So, you know, if you're not getting involved in AI as well with a tech platform, you will be left behind. So we decided to bite the bullet and go ahead and launch it.
So if people want to find out more, just give us the details of the website again.
Sure, it's hotelandsparresorts.com.
And that was Adrienne Stewart of hotelandsparresorts.com. Well, that's it for this week's Business Matters. As always, many thanks for listening. I'll sign off in my usual way by wishing you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, this is Chris Ashmore saying goodbye.